And good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It's a Tuesday morning, and it's our opportunity to get caught up with what's going on in the city of Manhattan. And there is a commission meeting tonight, 7 o'clock. The planning work session begins about an hour before that, the briefing session, I should say. And we have a couple of guests on the phone, as usual. I guess Zoom, not phone, but we have Mayor Ushiretti joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brennan. Nice to be here this morning.
You as well. And City Manager Ron Fear, glad to have you with us.
Thanks, Brandon. Always good to be here.
Again, the meeting is tonight at 7 o'clock, and we'll get into kind of some the details. Kind of a light agenda here today, so we'll have an opportunity also to talk about some other things going on here in the city as well. If you have any questions or concerns, you can certainly give us a call at 785-537-1350. And, you know, just driving around the city here the last few days, been seeing a lot of finishing up of some construction items. Of course, North Manhattan Avenue comes to mind. That's been a long project in the works, but it looks like, Ron, that's coming to fruition.
It has. So the contractor has been able to complete all of the side street work. So the entrances off North Manhattan. Again, this is that stretch between Claflin on the south there by Haymaker Hall, and then north up the hill to the American Institute for Baking entrance where the old phase left off. So it includes a widening of the roadway and some turning lanes and some major intersection improvements at several intersections, including the Claflin intersection that was totally rebuilt, all new traffic signals. So some pedestrian improvements in those pedestrian crosswalks and just better technology there and better turning lanes there as well. So we're excited about that. Probably one of the bigger improvements was traffic always backed up in both directions there as you accessed the big K-State parking lot there on the west, just to the north of the intersection. And so it has its own dedicated turning lane now, and there's more lanes for it to, if you're trying to get out of there, it was really only room for one vehicle. So if it was turning left, you could wait there a long time. So now there's two lanes there for folks to maneuver safer and be more efficient in that stretch. So basically over the last 5 years, we've totally rebuilt North Manhattan Avenue from Claflin to Kimball, including major intersection improvements up at the Research Park entrance and the signal upgrade there. And we're looking at continued expansion in the K-State Research Park in the near future. So we're excited to be able to improve that roadway and modernize it, adding some stormwater improvements, significant lighting and bicycle pedestrian trail there on the west side, that whole length, and some other pedestrian crossings. So it's a great corridor. It's one of the things that we've used our economic development infrastructure funds for, well over $7.5 million in those three different phases that we've utilized to upgrade that roadway. And it'll be a great multimodal traffic reliever and investment for us in the future as we redevelop along that corridor.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It looks nice. It's nice to be able to travel that route again. And you mosey down just a little bit further, and you go into Aggieville, and I know there's some more projects going over there along 12th Street.
It is. You know, we do have 12th Street back open from Bluemont to the alleyway. So just a short spot there. Obviously, you've still got some significant construction there with the Marriott Courtyard Hotel that's continuing, and that construction's going well. And so there's some limited access then, and then the construction focus now is on that other half block to the south of the alley to Morrow Street, and they're moving right along there. There's some significant landscape and streetscape improvements that are occurring there with planters and areas for outdoor dining and some seating, and so they've moved that and some shade structures. So that's proceeding well. We're thinking that's probably going to be substantially complete, hopefully, by the end of October or early November. So things are moving well there. And I'm sure the businesses that have been impacted along there, some limited availability, are looking forward to being able to utilize some of that space.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been tough to get in and out of some of the, like, the Starbucks, the Coca Bolos, and Popeyes, all those. It's been really kind of difficult to navigate through there.
It has. And some of those lane closures on Blue Mont will still be there for the hotel. So west of 12th Street, that'll still be impacted for a while. But as 12th Street finishes up and reopens, then a lot of that other access will be much better.
All right. Well, you mentioned a little bit about outdoor dining down there in the Aggieville area. Over in downtown Manhattan, I've seen the platforms up the past week. I spoke with Gina Scroggs over there in downtown Manhattan, and I know they're excited to have those out. Mayor, how are you? I'll bring you on here, Mayor. How have you appreciated those coming to fruition here?
Right. You know, I think it's always good to look at creative ways, and downtown came together along with their director, Gina Scroggs, and brought us a proposal for those platforms. And initially, they were supposed to be of a different type of material, but the demand was so high for those different types of platforms that the city worked well with our downtown businesses and came up with the platforms they have today. And I just think, you know, as we discuss having more people gain confidence to go out and enjoy themselves and, you know, have dinner outside at a restaurant and help our businesses, outdoor dining is one of the better ideas, better alternatives. And we don't have that many weeks left in this year for some nice weather. So hopefully people take advantage of it. I've been down that area a few times and it seems like everything is going well. I believe the heaters were donated by some organizations, and the platforms look lively. People are enjoying themselves, and it's just a nice addition. And these are platforms that they're owned by the city, so we can, you know, store them away during the winter months and bring them back again in spring and summer and fall, and see how it goes. But I think this is an idea that's working throughout the nation as we look at how to navigate the pandemic and also keep our businesses active.
And I might just ask real quick, Ron, maybe you have the answer to this. Those places that serve alcohol, are they allowed to serve outside there on those dining platforms?
Yes. So the business that we have an agreement with for the use of the platform that it's adjacent to, we have individual agreements for them to be able to bring the alcohol into the sidewalk, which was action we had passed earlier, and then now onto the platforms so they can serve in those specific areas. And as the mayor said, we were working hard to try, and hats off to the contractors for getting the work done and coming up with some alternatives. The railings for those that are a safety measure and identify the perimeter of those decks were supposed to be a little bit more ornamental. And they will be eventually, but the materials that were specified really weren't available or back ordered. So they came up with a temporary measure there of just using those 2x4s. So long-term they'll look better, and there's some options for how those businesses can upgrade those with some plantings and stuff in the future. But we wanted to try and get a little bit of use out of them while we could. And I think they will be very popular. But back to your original question. Yeah, see, the city has an agreement with each business that's adjacent to each of those decks for the rules on how they utilize that space.
Okay, very good. I had some people question me on that this past week, and I was like, I need to circle back because I couldn't remember on that. So thank you for that. Well, it's I think a lot of people are excited to see that. And, you know, obviously social distancing continues at a lot of these places. The mask ordinance seems to be, from what I can tell, being followed here. I traveled to Nebraska last week to see some family, and was surprised. I go into some cities of like size that, you know, it's not the same. You know, you go in places and people aren't wearing masks, and I was not used to that because I've seen it so well followed here. Are you guys experiencing the same thing when you go into businesses?
I see it. I mean, we don't travel much out of Manhattan these days. We just have so much going on here. But I have noticed it in other areas. And I think that's what it is. You know, everybody has, even in the state of Kansas, every municipality has their own ordinances and rules that they're following. But I think, you know, we're noticing now that COVID is all very much in the rural areas, even though they're not as densely populated, but most of them don't have a face mask ordinance in place. Not that that solves an entire problem, but it is part of a bigger solution. And I think a lot of people, like you said, it took us a while to change our own behaviors, but I think it's normal now in Manhattan in most of our businesses and even outside in public settings. But I do see it. It's quite apparent when I go to other areas on the outskirts of Manhattan, in fact.
I just comment, we traveled a little bit, mainly following our daughters on the high school volleyball team, and mostly in the Topeka, Lawrence area, which are all mask requirements. You know, the admissions for these venues where they're playing at the schools are, you know, limited to two household members per player, must wear masks, all of those things are in place. So we're seeing that, but also those are areas where there's some pretty significant activity. And as the mayor mentioned, you know, we've been fortunate to see some declining numbers here, which is helpful, certainly, and something that I don't think we can let our guard down, because we're seeing surges in other parts of the state that are impacting their hospitals. I mean, we had zero COVID patients in our local hospital. Pittsburgh, Wichita, Hutchinson are all surging in their hospitals with COVID patients. Hayes is another one. Southwest Kansas and even the Johnson County areas. I was talking to Bob Koppel, and some of the issues are, is normally they would transfer more critical patients potentially to those larger hospitals, but they're so filling up with COVID patients that that's becoming more of an issue with that. So those are just things that impact us, and you know, one of the main helps that the masks and other social distancing and cleanliness measures do is just to slow that spread, so it doesn't impact our ability for our frontline workers and health workers to be able to manage all of the issues, especially when we're heading into flu season.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, we've got a time to take a break here, and we'll continue our conversation. We'll get into some of the agenda items here tonight, including a new convenience store that's being considered. That's up next here on News Radio KMAN.